It's on. There we go. Good morning. It'll work. Okay. A while ago, Caleb asked me, he says, Dad, where's your kidneys? I said, I don't know, somewhere here. I'm like, catch that from. So I asked him, well, where are your kidneys? And he says, well, right there, Dad. See, earlier, before that, I had told him that Stan Jablonski's kidneys don't work. And so he'd been given thought to this, right? Anyway, I'm supposed to share the word. I titled the message, Have You Heard? Heard the good news. The text I chose is from Luke chapter 8. We already read the parallel account in Matthew. So turn your Bible to Luke chapter 8. I'll read verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them. Town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and persevering produce a crop. Question. How are you responding to the good news? First question after that, you might ask, is what's the good news? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So that's the good news. Good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. If we look back at verse 1, back to Luke chapter 8. So here Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another. This was what his mission was. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Just a few pages back. He'd been healing many different people in Capernaum. Let's start at verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." So he was sent to proclaim the good news. So he's on a mission here. Verse 2, tells us that the disciples were with him, the 12. They're listed in Luke chapter 6. We won't go there right now. If you want to know who they are, they're listed in Luke chapter 6. So a number of women that were with Jesus here, the women supported Jesus and the disciples and their family, proclaiming the good word. She was grateful, and many other women were with her, supporting them out of their own means. Jesus didn't charge them to heal them. That was true. Jesus isn't charging us for the true healing. He's giving us the good news. So, the women here showing this support showed maturity. Which is part of discipleship. Was this supporting Jesus' ministry? Was that the key to salvation? Well, if we look back in chapter 7, verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So a large crowd is gathered. Probably people coming from all over the places where they had a vacation. They heard the good news, so they're coming to see Jesus here. It's a parable we've heard over and over again. It's a simple story used to illustrate the teaching of truth. I personally like hearing stories. I like to figure out, instead of being blunt and cold, frank, this officer, not shooting here. I'm hearing it through a message that's a lot softer, a lot easier to get into. Jesus knew this. Did he not want? Is that why he spoke in parables to them? We all have freedom of choice. You can choose what you're listening to. You can choose to take it to heart. So the parable, we have a farmer sowing seed, scattering. We have seed. we have four different types of soils where the seed is scattered. The path, the wayside, the different gospels, one says path, one says wayside. We have the rocky soil, probably had some soil, because some of it did start to grow, right? But it didn't retain moisture. We have the soil with thorns, so enough soil and moisture for the seed to grow, but the thorns choked the plants. They didn't bear fruit. Then we have the good soil, the best condition, the best type of soil for seed to be scattered on. It came up and yielded a crop. Luke says 100-fold, Matthew says 30, 60, and 100. Mark says 30, 60, and 100. Regardless, it produced an abundant crop. After the three or the four types of soil, Jesus says, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Are we hearing? Are you hearing the good news? We have the good news proclaimed to us. Let's look at this passage in Isaiah that Jesus quotes here. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll start in verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.'" We saw that in chapter 7 of Luke, verse 50, that people were being healed. People were turning and being healed. They were coming to the healer. They were taking the good news to heart. The disciples, too, were asking what the meaning of this parable was. And Jesus goes on to explain it. Les said at our men's prayer time on Friday that he really likes this parable because Jesus tells the meaning of it. You don't have to try and figure out what it means. I appreciate that as well. But there's still quite a bit that we can dig into here. So let's picture this again. We have the farmer that represents Jesus in his ministry. Could also be any one of us sharing the good news. "The seed is the word of God," Jesus says. And it's being preached by the living Word. We read in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So what is this good news? What is this seed that he's scattering? John 3:16 tells us that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's the good news. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 24, let's turn there. This is probably one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. And let's just read it. John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Do you believe this? God's word is powerful, very powerful. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm jumping all over the place, I know, but like Kevin said earlier, if we can thread this stuff together, it makes sense. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We must give account. So that's the good news. That's the powerful word of God. Next, Jesus goes on to explain the different types of soil and how they respond. How they respond to the seed. The first soil. And by the way, all four of these soils could be found in one field. It's not like one great big field has the perfect soil and then the rest doesn't. Really, in our room here too, we probably might have each type of soil here. The soil represents the hearts of people. The first one, on the path or on the wayside, they hear the word, and the devil takes away the word so that they may not believe and be saved. What does it take to be saved? We just went over that. We need to believe. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Of the four soils, this is the only soil where Jesus makes reference to them not being saved. Again, we could look at Luke 7:50, where Jesus told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The other three soils have works associated with it. It's about maturing in the word, discipleship, training, being tested. Second soil is the rocky ground. It receives the word with joy. They believe for a while, but when tested, they fall away. Right away, you want to jump to, okay, they are not saved. They didn't believe genuinely enough. They didn't persevere, so they are judged. That's not the case here. The fact that these fall away indicates previous participation in discipleship growth and process. We just went over that it's not by works, lest anyone should boast, right? When we come to believe, when a baby is born, it's not mature, it's not an adult. It falls many times. It sprang up, but with no root, withered. Didn't have enough moisture. Question with this type of soil, the rocky ground, what can be done with this? Can it bear fruit? Like, is it even possible for a rocky ground to bear fruit? It can be. Rick could tell you of a piece of land that we were developing, and there were so many rocks there. They were in the way. We couldn't even make a roadway. We couldn't even make the pathway that the soil number one was. We had to remove the rocks. We couldn't get a septic field approved because it was too rocky. So one thing that could be done is the rocks could be removed. The rocks could also be crushed. They could be crushed and mixed. I look at myself sometimes, you know, there in my heart, probably sometimes there's a lot of rocks that still need to be crushed. Every time you cultivate and there's more seed, the more you hear the word of God, it's receiving the seed. Is it bearing the fruit? Do you want to produce a crop? Is another question. So this is a time of testing. Jesus also was tested. You could look that up in Luke chapter 4, 1-13. You don't have to turn there now. But he was tested. In fact, the devil used the word of God to test the living God. But he didn't defeat the powerful word. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to help us, to encourage, to give it moisture. It cultivates. I want to read a quote out of the Grace New Testament commentary. It says that God guarantees a believer eternal salvation as a gift by faith alone. But the process of discipleship, although rooted in God's grace, demands faith and works, effort, and cooperation in obedience to Him. The third soil is the seed that fell among thorns. Both the seed and the thorns grew, but the seed was choked. What was it choked by? Life's worries, the riches, pleasures. Not allowing it to mature, bringing fruit to maturity takes a lot of work. I know that even in my vegetable garden, if it's not weeds, it's ladybugs. If it's not, there's just one thorn after another. In the same way in our life. Does this mean that you can't have pleasure in life? No, not at all. In Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon tells us that there is a time for everything. But this soil, they lost focus. Focus on the goal. The goal was to produce a crop. Don't allow these things to keep you from maturity, although it can very quickly happen. Soil number four is the ideal soil for which to produce seed or a crop. Here, the same thing. Nothing more special than the other three soils. The seed was scattered, but it produced 100-fold. How is it that it produced that much? I mean, you think of the good soil, okay, that must already be in place and ready to go. Does it stay that way? No, it doesn't. The good soil also will keep getting tested. It's going to need to hear or receive the seed over and over again to keep producing the crop, because out of ourselves, out of itself, it can't. It can't produce a crop. After all of these, well, let's read what Jesus says here. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who heard the word, retain it, and by persevering, produced a crop. It didn't happen on its own. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Comes after the last productive soil earlier in the chapter there. So producing, we get by now, to produce a crop is a lot of work. In any field, any type of soil. If there's rocks in there, I remember back in Mexico, we had my uncle had bought a field, and he was going to farm it. But he had all of us nephews and his sons, and he sent us onto the field with a truck and trailer, and we collected rocks to prepare the soil for the seed so that it wouldn't just go by the wayside, so that it wouldn't, so that it would be able to take root and produce a crop. So we need the seed in all of the soils, and each of the soils need to be worked. Paul says that he beats his body into submission. 1 Corinthians 9. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 9. We want to always say that, okay, these three, the first three soils didn't produce a crop, and therefore their faith wasn't genuine enough. That's not what it's saying. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Paul says, "No, I strike a blow to my body." Actually, let's start earlier. Verse 24. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So as Jesus said there, by persevering, they produced a crop. What's a crop? What's a crop look like? So many points here to study and look into. What does a good crop look like? He says that the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. What's a noble and good heart? What came to my mind was the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, meekness, forgiveness. Living sacrificially. Worship God. Be honest. Have a serving type attitude. Love one another deeply. Be faithful. The example, the ultimate example that we have is Jesus. He was faithful. He was proclaiming the good news. So, in conclusion, I just want to encourage us. To look into God's Word, to hear the Word, to receive the seed. Because God desires for us to bear fruit and to go on to maturity. Not to earn our salvation, but to produce a crop so that others too will be encouraged to worship Him. He's the one that grants and guarantees eternal life. So I'll leave you with a question. What condition is your soil? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Spirit that helps us, that we can do all things through you who gives us the strength, you who gives us the living Word. Thank you, Lord, that you considered scattering the seed in all these soils. Help me, Lord, to produce a crop. Help all of us. Lord, thank you for your great love toward us. Thank you that you are patient with us. And you're gracious. Help us, too, to be patient with others. Help us to be merciful as you are merciful. Lord, thank you for who you are. And that you granted us eternal life. That you paid the penalty of our sin. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.